From Norwalk to New Canaan, from Monroe to Milford, Fairfield County listens to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
Well, this is so exciting because I don't know if you're like me, but the most fun section of our newspaper all the time are the weddings. Who doesn't love a wonderful love story? And joining us now is Themis Claridis, our own Republican minority leader, to talk about her own love story that was featured with a beautiful half a page, gorgeous, in the vows section of the New York Times on Sunday, meeting a political rival and finding a spouse. Themis, first of all, mazel tov. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you. So tell us about meeting a political rival and finding a spouse. Tell us all about that. We want to know.
Oh, it's such a story. But we were a couple of years ago, as you probably remember, I was thinking of running for governor. And we had obviously several people were. And there was a woman who is a friend of mine, Liz Karanowitz, who was, you know, talking to me and talking to Greg about his interest in running for governor. And at one point she said, you two should actually meet each other and sit down and talk because, you know, I think you're two of the strongest candidates and, you know, we want to be able to win this seat back. We don't want to be fighting amongst each other. So for several months, we went back and forth in emails to set up a time for lunch or dinner. And you know, his wife was very sick at the time. And she, you know, ultimately passed away in the beginning of December. So, you know, and then it was Christmas time and it was after an election. So we were both, you know, very busy for different reasons. And then the end of January, there's an annual event at the Norwich Holiday Inn every year for the Eastern Connecticut Republicans called Grassroots East. And we both walked in there at the same time and kind of just stopped and said, hey, that's you. Because, you know, we met each other once or twice, but just in passing. And we just started talking and we kind of hit it off. We spoke for probably 5 or 10 minutes, and then we said, I know we're supposed to set up a lunch, and we did that for the week after. And when we were sitting down, it was actually a dinner, it felt more like a date than, even though we talked about business the whole time, it was just a weird thing. And we both left there thinking, what just happened here? And the next day, you know, I sent a text saying, thank you for dinner. It was nice talking. And from that moment on, we just continued texting till like now.
Yeah. Till like now. Right. You know, it doesn't take long, right?
4 years ago.
Well, yeah. Is that right? It's 4 years ago. You know, there's a song in Hello Dolly. It only takes a moment. But I really believe that.
Hello Dolly.
Right? It only takes a moment to fall in love. That it's really sort of true. I mean, you know, it isn't, but it is. That initial spark, that's something that is that thing between two people, it doesn't take too long to know. It just doesn't. Particularly when you've been looking, even if you don't think you've been looking, but there's an sort of like an extrasensory look and you send out some kind of a vibe and you're ready for it. You have to be ready for it too, Themis, don't you think? You have to be ready.
You know, no, I agree. And it's funny because I was never one of those people that thought getting married was the end all and be all in my life, but I wasn't against it. And all my friends and family would always tell me that I was too picky, you know, that I thought that this was a fairy tale and the whole thing because once you're in your 50s or when you're even in your 40s, you've been through, if you're, you know, it's a reasonable life you've lived, you've been through many relationships. And every time every time I tried to figure, well, is this really a good one or am I being too picky? Because that's what I heard all the time. But, you know, I was engaged a few times, and every time I just couldn't do it. You know, and I just knew. And I'm one of those people that normally acts on my gut feeling, even if I don't know why, and it's almost always right. So I felt like I was vindicated after all these years of people telling me I was too picky.
That's wonderful. Now, and your husband, Greg, so it says here, I'm just quoting from the article here in Vows. Mm-hmm. It said that his wife had ALS. What a mm-hmm. devastating, horrible thing to live through with anybody you've loved. That's
right. And he has two daughters and four grandchildren, and you know what they all went through is something that nobody ever, you know, wishes on anybody. And, you know, they'd been together. I mean, they'd known each other since they were kids, basically. you know, their families, obviously, they grew up in the same town. They went to the same, you know, high school. And so it was, you know, that was a long, you know, long term. And those are, their families were actually family.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, yeah, okay. I mean, they just, you know, when you've known somebody, when you grew up in the same town, you went to the same high school.
Yes.
You know, your
yep.
families know each other, right? I mean, that's like the majority of your life.
That's right.
You know, so
that's
obviously right. that's just very difficult for everybody.
And how is your relationship with your new stepchildren? Are they two daughters, you said? Two daughters?
Two daughters, yeah. They're two great. Yeah, they're great people. And they've been very, you know, welcoming. And, you know, obviously it was difficult at first, as it is with everybody. You know, I always say my sister and I, because I have two sisters, and I would have been the one that would be like, no, I'm not accepting anybody into this. Like, they're not okay for me. And my sister would have been the one like, Dennis, you know, you want daddy to be happy. You don't want him to be alone. I would have been like, no, you know, like that's just my personality. So, you know, but it's, they're great people and they're, and one of them has the four children and, so, you know, it's just been so nice to get to know them and, you know, spend time with them. Cause I'm so close to my family to have somebody, you know, and that was another thing we bonded on because he's so close to his family. So for me in prior relationships, that has been a deal breaker. A lot of times that I'm so close to my family and, you know, the other person wasn't as close to their family and found it weird. Or, you know, I had one person tell me, well, if you're too close to your family of origin, it's not healthy. I go, really?
Therapists go, like okay, to say that
healthy.
All the time.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. And he, trust me, needed a therapist more than anybody. So
I
no business
listen,
telling
I
anybody
know.
Else anything. But, you know, I just went with my gut. And
right.
I was right.
Good for you. You know, it's a funny thing because I never heard that expression family of origin until I went into therapy a few years ago. I was offended
really?
At that. I was so
That's
offended
offensive.
At that.
Because,
I was like, what do you mean my family of origin? What does that mean? Now I have to separate my family from my I mean, like, what does that mean? I have a family. It's not my family of origin. It's my family. I hate that term. I hate it.
So did your, I never heard it either until this guy said it to me. Did your therapist actually say it?
Yes.
Okay. So here's the thing. When a therapist says it, they're clinical people, right? So
yes.
at least them speaking in clinical terms makes sense because they're trying to kind of make this all objective in a way, right? To explain it and describe it. But when the person you're in the relationship with says it, they're weird. They're weirdos, right? There's something wrong with them. Because
I think that they're threatened.
Anybody that talks emotionally, of course they are. Anybody that speaks about your family, their family, you know, in that very sterile way. I mean, that was a problem in and of itself.
Yeah.
Family of origin.
Yeah. Family of origin. Oh, yeah.
Funny, right?
And of course, you and your sister are both currently in the state house. Is your sister running for re-election?
She is.
And you're not.
She's working hard as usual. Yeah, I'm not, which is weird. But, you know, I'm still involved in a lot of our other races and, you know, helping everybody as much as I can, as I usually do.
And are you going to, is it after November, which I can't believe is 30 days, my goodness. Are you going to officially announce your intentions one way or another soon, or are you going to wait another full year to do that, Themis? What are you thinking about?
No, I'm still thinking about it. My focus right now is, you know, getting as many Republicans reelected and elected in November. And then, obviously, after that, we hit the holiday time. So when next year comes, after the first of the year, you know, whatever decision I make, you know, I'll make that decision sometime, probably the first half of next year.
The Times says that your new husband, by the way, you're going to keep your name Themis Claridis or are you going to change your name?
I am. Well, I'm going to keep my name for now. I'm very proud of my name and my family. So, I mean, at some point I may hyphenate it, but I'm keeping this for now.
Okay. So your husband is Gregory Brian Butler, and he's identified as the executive vice president and general counsel of Eversource. That's become sort of a loaded appellation lately.
But we went into session last week and, you know, there was a lot of work and a lot of blood, sweat and tears put in for a while on a bill, you know, with all sides at the table. And, you know, the bill passed almost unanimously. I mean, I'm not sure about the Senate. I think it may have passed unanimously, but in the House, it was almost unanimous. So I think it was a bill that at the end of the day was workable and are going to help, you know, help ratepayers, but be fair to companies and, you know, do something that we try and do and everything, but don't always accomplish is get a bill that's right for the people of Connecticut.
Has he worked for Eversource for a long time?
Long time. Yeah, I don't know how long, but a long time.
Long time.
I mean, I want to say at least 20 years.
Yeah. So where are you making your lives together now? We're chatting with them as Claritas. Where are you actually living?
Well, I still have my place in Derby, right in the Orange Derby line. So I go back and forth between there and his home in Madison. I mean, ultimately, it'll be in Madison. But, you know, my Derby house is, you know, very close to my parents who, you know, are in and out of the hospital, and my sister, and, Aww. You know, we're spending a lot of time with my parent, my dad, and my mom. You know, it's important to be close to them as much as I can.
Absolutely. I didn't know that they were ill. Madison is a gorgeous community. I love Madison. We went up there a couple weeks ago
it's just great.
To hang around a little bit. It's so pretty up there. It's really beautiful.
It is nice. And I love, you know, the little downtown, the Main Street area. I like that kind of thing. I mean, it's very Westporty, right? In that way.
Very.
You can walk around and have downtown.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in towns that never had any downtown. So I really kind of, when we were looking around, I wanted to have that kind of thing.
No, it's great. They have RJ Julia, which is the great, you know, book store there.
Right, I'm a bookstore fanatic, so I love just going in there. It makes me feel peaceful.
So I'm very happy for you, Themis Claritas. So this is the guy, and you knew it right away. And it took you 4 years to get down the aisle because I guess he had a lot of grief to work through. And, you know, I guess,
we got engaged almost to the day 3 years when we first met, but he will tell you that he would have proposed sooner because he was afraid I would run away, which I probably would have if it was too soon. I'm a little bit of a runaway bride, Lisa. So he wanted to make sure I didn't leave.
had you been engaged before and called it off?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. So. Okay. You know, it was more me, but I mean, we talked about it. And so, you know, that was the great part. I mean, no matter how much I would get scared, whether it was of that or something else, he always wants to talk it through. And, you know, he never got freaked out because I got freaked out, which was, you know, usually people do that. Like they get worked up because you're worked up. And I really just needed somebody to know somebody was going to kind of be the calm one.
Yeah.
You know, and make me feel like this was a safe place, right? Instead of make me feel like I'm being criticized or. Sorry. Are you there?
I'm right here. I'm listening.
Yeah, I lost you for a second. I mean, you know, I feel like in prior relationships, and I think a lot of women, I think especially, you know, professional, like, successful women have this whole. Guys like that you're successful and this and that at first, but then when they realize they're not in control of you, then they all of a sudden become critical and they all of a sudden, you know, question things. That's the experience that I've had. You know, and he was never like that. And that was one of the main reasons why I think I started to feel comfortable and safe in that place, that being me wasn't a liability. It was an advantage. You know, something that he liked, not something that he tolerated.
Right.
Because you know
right.
how
I'm
we
with
are.
A guy
we're,
like that.
Where you're at, yeah. Because you're like that, right? Because you're successful and outgoing and don't, you know, keep things in. And guys can be intimidated by that. I mean, I don't want to sound like this, you know, women's liber kind of woman, but it's the truth. I mean, it's a sad
truth.
It's the truth.
You have to find a guy who's secure. It comes from security of themselves in the world, right?
It's amazing because there's like all these professional men that are so successful. You'd think they're secure, but they're the farthest thing from it. So yeah, he's very secure in who he is and, you know, what he wants. And that was that was the main difference, I think, you know, with him and a lot of other people that I've known or been involved with, you know, that he was secure in himself, which is what
we need,
right?
He's going to be so proud of you. And he's going to be proud of you. I always say that Bill is the anchor that lets me fly. right? So he's my, you know.
I agree.
So I can go, but he can keep me down. And yeah, and he's was always has always been my greatest supporter. And whenever I feel like them, it's whenever I'm, and I don't really know what it is, but sometimes I get bored or I get restless. He's the one who will sit me down and say, "So what's next? So what's next, Lisa? So mm-hmm. what are you going to do next?" And you know, that's been a good thing. It's been a good thing.
No, yeah. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I saw in him that I'd not seen before.
I'm real happy for you, Themis. Themis Claridis.
Thank you.
It's Vows. You can find it online. It's called Meeting a Political Rival and Finding a Spouse if you want more details. I'm just so happy for you. Don't be a stranger, by the way, just because you're moving out of public office. You're a big mover and shaker in Connecticut politics. We want to know what you're thinking. Next time you come back on, we'll talk about other things in the world. But this was a conversation about love. And thank you for joining us to give us a little bit of insight into your own personal life.
Thank you. And I'm always thrilled to be on with you. You call me anytime and I'll call you.
Thanks, Themis. Thanks. Themis Claridis on the Lisa Wexler Show. Coming up, Chris Ciano, who is the head of Medicare for Aetna. And we will take your questions. Very important conversation and topic. 203-333-9422. We'll be right back.